everybody, welcome back to another episode of Popcorn Premieres. I'm your host, Logan Thompson, joined, as always,
by Ethan Kaufman. Hey, hi, hello, everybody.
And hey, hi, hello to you, too,
Ethan. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. What if I did this? For our listeners, the audio is very screwy right now, and I can only hear out of my left headphone, and I was going to go headphoneless. But I think we're going to go headphones.
Okay.
As terrible as it sounds. We're gonna soldier on.
There you go. It sounds good for me, so I'll take it.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's jump in to what we got planned for today. So before we get to the box office, as we always do, we're going to be talking about 10 potential Oscar contenders.
These were the 10 that you dubbed less exciting than the 10 we did 2 weeks ago?
Not less exciting. They were just ones that I had lower. Because I think that we have some really exciting movies on here.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to split it out kind of evenly. I mean, I think especially like the
first one we got.
I think that that's a pretty big one. So that way this would also be kind of entertaining. But anyways, so pretty much, if you weren't here for our episode a few weeks ago where we did Oscar contenders, I'm going to sell.
You're a salesman.
A movie to Ethan, and Ethan's gonna either buy it and be like, yeah, it's gonna be a big contender, or just kind of like, eh, or no, not at all. I accidentally hit the.
And what's so great about the economy of this game is that I could buy all 10 of these or none of them, and it won't make any difference.
Yeah.
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 All right.
Good point. All right. Well, let's jump in. Starting off with our first movie, The Apprentice, starring Sebastian Stan as Donald Trump, Jeremy Strong, Kendall Roy, you could also say, as Roy Cohn, and Ali Abbasi directing. A lot of people, including myself, are believing that Jeremy Strong could be a really strong contender for Best Supporting Actor. As the summary of this film, which I will read, charts a young Donald Trump's ascent to power through a Faustian deal with the influential right-wing lawyer and political fixer Roy Cohn. I believe, alongside a lot of other takes I've heard, that just summary makes it sound like Roy Cohn, played by Jeremy Strong, will be a really big part of this movie. And Jeremy Strong's going to have a fantastic performance.
He's going to knock this out of the park. Yeah. If it is anything like his performance in Succession, just on a quality level, like, I'm sure it'll be completely different.
Yeah.
But he is an actor who he can do it.
Exactly.
He can do it.
And so I said before that Ali Abbasi is directing this film. Thing with him is that he has only ever received a Swedish entry for his 2018 film Border, like for the best international feature. Like, he's never been nominated. He has never made a movie that's been nominated for an Oscar. This will probably be the first. I would be shocked if this movie didn't win at least one Oscar. And finally, Neon is distributing this film, and they always at least have one solid Oscar contender pretty much every year. So, yeah. Ethan, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts on this, I think this at the moment is absolutely a contender. I think politically, like during an election year, just based on the subject matter, this is one that's going to get a lot of attention, if not even acclaim, attention. You obviously have Sebastian Stan doing what feels like a very Oscar-y sort of performance by transforming into this larger-than-life kind of figure.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see how much he plays it up, because I think when playing Donald Trump, it'll be very easy to fall into like kind of like bad comedic territory. Mm-hmm. But from what I can tell, this seems to be more grounded than that. I think a lot of that is due to it being in the 80s before the Trump of today. But yeah, like it being a biopic just based on like that description, I think this is one to watch out for. I think when it premieres, gauging reactions to see if it's actually going to be a good contender.
Mm-hmm.
It has a best actor play. It has a best supporting actor play. And even though the director is not really a big name, like Justine Triet was never that, and then she got a best director nomination.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think it's out of the question.
I don't either.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm very hopeful personally. Me too. I think it could do really well if it's good. I trust Sebastian Stan.
And I trust Jeremy Strong, my number one boy.
Yeah. Is he your number one boy?
He's my number one boy.
Does that belong to another boy we're going to talk about pretty soon?
Oh, man.
Oh, dear. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Do I know what you're talking about?
You'll find out
if you don't. I'll find out, I guess.
Okay. Next movie is Juror Number 2. This is directed by Clint Eastwood, who hasn't really made a big Oscar hit since American Sniper. But could this be the next one? It has a really solid cast. Nicholas Holt, Toni Collette, and J.K. Simmons are the main three actors in this film. Summary of the movie is a juror in a murder trial realizes he may have caused the victim's death and must wrestle with the dilemma of whether to manipulate the jury to save himself or reveal the truth and turn himself in. What are your thoughts?
This sounds, just off the premise, awesome. Yeah. I am such a sucker for like these high concept thrillers. And when I heard about this, I think for the first time, like a couple weeks ago, I was like, that is a really cool idea for a movie. I think it has potential to not pan out. I think like I'm looking at something like Richard Jewell, maybe.
Yeah.
As like, it's not bad. It just doesn't really hit dramatically the way it may be intended to. But we'll see. I mean, Nicholas Holt has shown many times that he's like a really underrated actor and can, I think, carry a movie. Like the whole rest of the ensemble is really solid.
Yeah.
So I think this is one, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out and just kind of flops and doesn't hit. And it's maybe like, it's a solid 6-7 out of 10, but it's not like a major Oscar contender. But I could also see it doing very well. We'll see.
Me too. I think like this is probably one of the the biggest film on this list in terms of lowest floor and highest ceiling.
I think so. Yeah.
Just because like there, I feel like could be so much potential for this film. This could be another American Sniper for Eastwood.
Right.
Like the fact that the three main people are Holt, Collette, and J.K. Simmons are huge to me.
Even if it is really good, is the Academy has not always gone hard for thrillers. And so, I mean, it depends on how much of a thriller it really ends up being. I think with a concept like this, it's not going to be too much.
Yeah, I think it's like a political thriller type of thriller, though. And I think in that case, you know, the Academy likes those kind of films. We talked about Conclave.
Right. But also then, like, if you already have Conclave, which I do think out of the two is probably going to be stronger, will this lose a bit of steam?
I don't think so.
But it's like, it's possible if it's not really strong.
That's fair. Yeah. I think if this isn't really strong, definitely.
Yeah.
But I have a really good feeling about this movie.
I do too.
I wasn't feeling too good about this film. And then while I was like writing up for these 10 movies, I was looking into this movie and I was like, you know what? This could be really good.
It could be really, really good.
Or it could suck.
Or it could suck. But if it's good, I will really, really like it because I love these kinds of movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess we'll find out. Moving on to Bird. Andrea Arnold is directing this film. Has never really had an Oscar hit yet. Previously, she directed American Honey back in 2016, I believe.
Yes.
This could possibly be an exception for that, though, as this seems to be a bit of a coming-of-age type of film, which we'll dive into in a few moments when I go over the summary. And the Academy, they love coming-of-age films sometimes. Starring in this film in supporting roles are Barry Keoghan and Franz Rogowski, who I know we've talked about for this movie in previous episodes. And now finally, the summary. At the age of 12, Bailey lives with his brother Hunter and his father Bug, who raises them alone in a squat in northern Kent. Bug doesn't have much time to devote to them, and Bailey, who's approaching puberty, is looking for attention and adventures elsewhere.
It sounds great. It sounds very similar to American Honey in terms of vibes. You said you haven't seen it?
I have not seen
American Honey. It's so good. in regards to this, it's not the kind of movie I think is going to quite resonate with members of the Academy.
Probably not.
Like, it falls much more into just, like, indie art house type of stuff. So I do think it'll be really good. We'll see. There is a world where maybe they look at this as, like, because A24 has been doing amazing at the Oscars the last couple of years. Like, even this past year with Past Lives, didn't get a ton, but, like, it was still on everyone's radar.
I mean, I feel like The Zone of Interest was really A24's more impressive movie. Last year.
Yeah, I don't know if this is quite going to take off the way others are, because I think it's, like, it's much less of a big name. We'll see, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have much to say on this right now. I feel like I need, like, a trailer or something to give me a sense of the vibe, because it is clearly going to be very vibe-heavy, I think.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, I mean, I'll let you know how it is
when
I see it in May.
Please do.
Alongside The Apprentice. Yes. I can't believe I'm seeing The Apprentice. Like,
that's nuts.
In less than a month.
Yeah. I'm going to need updates on everything.
Anyways.
Also, for our listeners, go watch American Honey. It's really good. Go watch it. It's a good movie. Go.
Okay. Thank listeners, you. Listen to Ethan. Yeah. Next up, Anora, directed by Sean Baker, who has really seen minimal Oscar success, even for his widely acclaimed Florida project. The only nomination for that film was Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
This movie, Anora, is a comedy following sex workers. That is the summary so far. It will probably be too risque for the Academy, especially considering that Red Rocket seemed to be too risque. This seems to be even more so. But it does star Mickey Madison. So will she get set on fire again, like we were talking about before?
Similar to what you said, I don't think this is going to be an Oscar movie. I think it'll be very good. Sean Baker's the kind of director who, like, he knows what he's doing. He does it consistently, and it always works. It's just not something that the Oscars are really looking for in terms of awarding stuff.
Yeah.
I do think he's the kind of director who, like, if he did sit down one day and was like, I want an Oscar, he could go make a movie and win an Oscar.
Oh, he totally could.
Yeah. Like, he has that ability. I just don't think this is, I don't think this is that. I think just, like, based on, again, how risque plot-wise it's going to be, it sounds too similar to what he has been doing in the past, which is not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. But in terms of Oscar love, I don't think it looks great.
Yeah. I'm really excited to get to see this film, though. I think it's going to be an excellent movie.
Lucky duck.
I know.
Yeah.
Sorry, I feel like I keep bragging.
No, you're fine.
But
I would, too, if I was you.
That's fair. Anyways, moving on to The Piano Lesson. Malcolm Washington's directorial debut. He is the other son of Denzel Washington. Speaking of sons of Denzel Washington, starring in this movie is John David Washington.
JDW!
With Samuel L. Jackson supporting. They also starred when this film, or not film, sorry, when this was previously on Broadway. I said Broadway for some reason. A few years ago, and alongside them was Danielle Brooks, who was previously in The Color Purple. She's now not in this film.
No!
Her character has been recast for Danielle Deadwyler.
Okay.
So still a really good actor. You know, it's going to be exciting. Netflix is producing and distributing this film. Seems like this is going to be Netflix's big Oscar contender for the year.
Yeah.
And finally, the summary. In 1936, an ornately carved piano, the Charles family's prized possession, has been gathering dust in the parlor of Bernice Charles' Pittsburgh home. When Boy Willie, Bernice's exuberant brother, bursts into her life with his dream of buying the same Mississippi land that his family had worked as slaves, he plans to sell his antique piano for the cash he needs to stake his future. But Bernice refuses to sell, clinging to the piano as a reminder of the history that is their family legacy.
where are you getting these descriptions from?
Letterboxd. This was okay. Really long. And finally, wanted to just mention that Samuel L. Jackson, when this was on Broadway, got nominated for a Tony.
Cool.
So, you know, pretty big to have him back. Thoughts?
Like you said, this is kind of Netflix's big contender of the year. And I do think it is a contender. I think specifically Samuel L. Jackson for supporting actor, I think is going to be a big play. Mm-hmm. Like at this point, he has a narrative strong enough from what I do know, which is admittedly very little, but from what I do know, he's going to be giving a very, very good performance here. So I think maybe less of a picture director movie, but at least in the acting categories, I do think this is going to nab at least one.
Mm-hmm.
John David Washington maybe could even take like a best actor nomination.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. It's one on my radar.
It's on my radar too. I think best supporting actor is probably one of the more clear Oscar categories right now.
Yeah.
With Samuel L. Jackson and also with Jeremy Strong, as well as maybe Javier Bardem.
Right.
Like, that's already 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
That feel pretty clear.
It's going to be a good year.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good year. Anyways, next movie is A Real Pain, directed by Jesse Eisenberg. It's supposed to actually be a good movie this time, unlike his first directorial debut movie. Really high praise out of Sundance.
Yeah.
Eisenberg also stars in this film alongside your other top boy.
My other top Succession boy.
Kieran Culkin.
Let's go.
Also, Fox Searchlight is distributing this film. They usually have at least one contender at the Oscars every year. And the summary is mismatched cousins David and Benji reunite for a tour through Poland to honor their beloved grandmother. The adventure takes a turn when the pair's old tensions resurface against the backdrop of their family history. I know that this is a film a lot about like Jewish families and Judaism and a lot of that. So that could also be a big part to this film and whether or not it's successful at the Oscars, given what's happening in the world right now. So, yeah. What do you think?
Similar to you, I agree with all of that. What drags it down a little for me is just it coming out of Sundance, because it really hasn't been since Coda that a movie has premiered at Sundance and been like a major Oscar player, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Well, Past Lives.
Did that premiere at Sundance?
Yeah, Past Lives.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Never mind, ignore that.
Yeah, also, the big thing for this is that not only did it premiere at Sundance, but they're waiting till October to release
it.
You know, they're not going to release it in the middle of the summer.
They've got some Oscar confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just based on the buzz that I've heard, this is totally one to watch out for. Like you kind of mentioned, Jesse Eisenberg, like we've seen actors taking on like roles in the director's chair and it not always panning out. But when it's good, it's really good. And this sounds like it's one of those. You kind of hit everything I wanted to say about this. I don't think it's going to be like a major best picture contender. I don't think it's quite on that level just because there is a lot of competition right now.
Yeah.
But I do think like maybe a screenplay nomination, maybe like a supporting actor here or there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Kieran Culkin is supposed to be amazing in this film. He's supposed to essentially just channel Roman Roy
good
here.
Stuff.
So that could be the fourth supporting actor. There you go. You know? So now we just kind of need to figure out one more.
I would love to see the Succession boys duke it out.
Yeah, I would love to see that too. I mean, I don't think either of them would win.
I don't think so either.
I think Samuel L. Jackson would win. But just to like see best supporting actor, like when that's announced and see their two faces amongst the five right after Succession dominated the Emmys one last time.
Yeah.
Like that would just be awesome.
Hype.
Big hype.
Big hype.
Moving on.
Yes.
Didi. Sean Wang directing. Previously, he was nominated for documentary short Nai Nai and Waipo last year. In 2008, during the last month of summer before high school begins, an impressionable 13-year-old Taiwanese-American boy learns what his family can't teach him, how to skate, how to flirt, and how to love your mom. A24 is distributing this film, but could this movie just be a little too indie for the Oscars? And also, it's releasing in the middle of the summer, which could hurt its chances rather than releasing, you know, October, November time like A Real Pain is. Also, one last bit, it did premiere at Sundance. I forgot to mention that.
Vibes.
What are your thoughts?
Have straight up never heard of this before.
Oh,
sounds
really?
Awesome. Sounds great. Like between A24, because A24 coming of age movies, like we've seen a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're so my jam. I love them so much.
I'm really excited to see this.
Yeah, it looks like buzz out of Sundance has been really good.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like an Oscar contender, but maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see.
The reactions out of Sundance were really interesting because they were very mixed. Some people were like, this is a really good movie, but not an Oscar contender. And other people were like, look out, this is like the next Past Lives.
But that being said, it doesn't sound like they're mixed in that, like, everyone agrees it's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so, like, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's just, is it an Oscar-y movie? I guess we'll find out, because I think it comes out in August. So we'll find out
July
in August.
July 26th.
Oh, never mind. July. Yeah. Late July.
Two days before the 7-year anniversary of the Emoji Movie.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, actually, it might end up being August for wide release.
Probably.
July
actually,
26th
yeah.
for limited. So we will find out in August. Probably.
We will know.
Yeah.
We will not know now, we will not know soon, but we will know eventually.
Yes, we will. Moving on, I guess. Yep. Furiosa.
Let's go.
I'm so excited for this movie.
Me too.
Anyways, directed by George Miller, obviously.
Obviously.
Almost 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
It's 20 minutes longer than Fury Road. Seems to use a bit more CGI than Fury Road. That's been a bit of a noticeable critique.
Yeah.
Of the trailers. Anya Taylor-Joy and Chris Hemsworth are starring. This is a prequel movie, but my God, does this movie just look absolutely magical.
Yeah.
And finally, the summary. As the world falls, young Furiosa is snatched from the green place of many mothers into the hands of a great biker horde led by Warlord Dementis. Sweeping through the wasteland, they encounter the citadel presided over by Immortan Joe. The two tyrants wage war for dominance, and Furiosa must survive many trials as she puts together the means to find her way home. What do you think?
I am so hyped for this movie.
Me too.
And I'm so upset that I don't think it's going to get any love at the Oscars.
I mean, I think it'll get technicals.
I think it'll get some... I don't see it being like the major power player that Fury Road was.
Yeah, not like the
know.
Major
they just,
power
player. They
have
player. A tough time with sequels.
They do.
Or in this case, prequels.
But like, it does still have that hyper stylization.
Yeah, there is a Variety article that came out a couple days ago that I don't know if you saw. The headline is Furiosa has a 15-minute action scene that took us 78 days to shoot and required nearly 200 stunt workers on set daily. It was very important. Stuff
Whoa.
Like that is going to help it, I think.
Yeah.
Like, if they really do play up how crazy, like, the practical effects and stunt work and all that is, maybe it's got a shot. But even then, like, John Wick did that a little bit. Mission Impossible does that a lot. And, like, John Wick got nothing. Mission Impossible got 2 nominations?
Yep.
I don't think it's going to be a big Oscar contender. But I'm very excited for it. And I think it's going to be amazing.
I don't think it's going to be a big Oscar contender. I do think it could be a big technical
category. I think it'll get like hair and makeup, definitely.
Yeah, hair and makeup, visual effects.
Sound, hopefully.
Sound,
yeah.
Cinematography, and editing.
Yeah.
I think those 5.
I wouldn't lock it in for like editing or even cinematography, because I think we have a lot of big movies this year that look to be Oscar contenders.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a movie on that scale that is going for picture, it tends to lock those down to where maybe they feel okay shoving Furiosa out of the way. I hope not.
I hope not as well.
I really hope not. I'm very excited for it.
Well, who knows? We'll maybe see. It'll end up sucking. And that would suck.
How dare you? How dare you?
We don't know yet.
We don't know, but I can tell. No, I can't. I think so.
I mean, we pretty much can tell. Like, it looks awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
But playing devil's advocate, I think people over the last, like, year or two have gotten really good at editing trailers for bad movies. to where they hide how bad it is. But yeah. this is not one of them. I think this is going to be one of the best movies
Of summer. Those trailers, like the trailers just have shots that
the wide never shot of like all the movies. Vehicles with the text like coming in.
Yeah.
Is so cool.
Yeah. Every shot in every the trailer shot is so cool. Anyways, next up, our second to last movie on this list, The End.
Why is it second to last if it's The End?
Because I feel like the last one is just kind of like more timely in terms of ending up on. Mm-hmm. Anyways, The End, directed by director Joshua Oppenheimer, who has previously been nominated for two Oscars for two documentaries, didn't win either. And now this is his first like feature fictional film. It is supposed to be a musical that something could evoke feelings of this golden age Hollywood musical. It stars Tilda Swinton, George MacKay from 1917, and then Michael Shannon from Knives Out. You know, it sounds like it will debut at a fall festival like Venice or maybe TIFF. And finally, the summary is a post-apocalyptic story about a rich family living in a salt mine converted into a luxurious home. The earth around them has apparently been destroyed, but their son has never seen the outside world. As a young girl appears at the entrance of the bunker, the balance of the family is threatened. What do you think?
I think this sounds hella vibes. I don't think it sounds particularly Oscar-y. Who knows? Time could tell. I think this is going to be a ton of fun. It's a musical.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I'm going to fight against you musical. A little bit.
You're going to fight against me?
A little bit.
Do it.
I think, it honestly, after seeing Triangle of Sadness get nominated for a bunch of Oscars, I think this is very Oscar-y.
Okay.
I think musical, Tilda Swinton, you know.
Maybe.
Like, if this is good, you know, big if, because this is, like, Oppenheimer's first fictional film.
Right.
But, like, he's made two really good documentaries. I haven't seen them.
I haven't seen them, but I'm super unfamiliar with documentaries. And so the fact that I recognize both of the posters, I think, speaks to how high profile of documentaries they are.
Yeah, there you go. And just like, you know, it deals a lot with classism and also truth. You know, like, is there even an apocalypse going on outside when the boy has never seen it? You know, are they just lying to him to keep him inside? Could that be sort of a theme of this movie? You know, how did a girl appear at their door if it's uninhabitable outside? So I just feel like those are a lot of different questions that the Academy could eat up.
Yeah, I have a couple things holding it back. I do think it'll be, at the very least, fun. Yeah. I need a trailer. I need a trailer to know if this is just going to be a fun, cool movie that I will like, or if it's genuinely going to be an Oscar player.
Mm-hmm.
It being distributed by Neon also, I think, holds it back a little bit, just because they have others. And so I don't know, because generally, you have a studio with like three, four, however many movies. They really push one and then maybe give some love to a second. It's very rare that like they go all in on all of them. And so unless this is the one, I don't know how much love they are going to give it in terms of like an Oscar campaign.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
What else do you think they have? They have this, they have The Apprentice. What else do they have that I'm missing right now?
I feel like there's one more. I don't know. But like out of those two, though, The Apprentice is the one that I see being an Oscar movie.
True. That
right
is true.
Right now.
But we'll change. See. Yeah, it is definitely subject to change.
You'll let me know.
I will with The Apprentice.
Yeah.
Not The End. No. Sadly, that's not going to Cannes.
Can every movie really please go to Cannes so that Logan can see it in a month and get back to me?
I wish. Yeah. And I'm probably not going to see Furiosa early either, which sucks because it's premiering there, but I think that's the only screening they're doing. Mm-hmm. And we are not guaranteed premiere tickets.
Dang.
So. Dang.
You don't need to see it there, though. It'll be out
within
a month.
Yeah. I'd rather see Horizon there, honestly.
Yeah?
just because Horizon, like, I'd have to wait a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, next movie on our list. Final movie on our list, actually.
Yes.
A movie that we have both seen.
We have.
Civil War.
Civil War movie 2024, Google enter.
Yeah.
As I pull it up.
It has gotten some Oscar buzz recently.
I have not seen this. Where is it getting Oscar buzz?
I've seen it like online, just people being like, oh, it's doing really well at the box office.
Which people? What are your sources, Logan Thompson?
My sources are just like YouTube and, yeah.
Uh-huh. YouTube. For a movie about journalists, I'm going to need some sources.
Okay.
Can you give me a source? Can you throw me a source or two? A name?
A name?
A name?
A name.
Can you give me a name?
Grace Randolph.
I hate her.
I don't like her that much either. But she like hates Oscar-y type of movies.
Yeah.
So, and like I know that she does have like connections in the industry and whatnot. So, maybe. The thing is that this movie is really overperforming its box office expectations.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's an A24 movie starring Kristen Dunst.
Yeah. I don't see it being an Oscar movie right now, but if you circle back to me in like 4 or 5 months,
yeah,
and there's still conversation surrounding mm-hmm. it, maybe.
Yeah.
Cuz like even though, and we talked about it, it's completely apolitical.
Mhm.
I still think that there is some sort of commentary there that the Academy likes and goes for a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see. I think in order for this to have a shot, you need at least like a good 3 or 4 of these other movies that we've called contenders to just totally not land.
Yeah.
But that could happen.
It could.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Anyways, I guess we're ending off on this bit. And before we get into the box office, I just want to jump to auction updates take it away.
Yes.
With how things are going.
So as of today, I have updated the Letterboxd average rating, the IMDb average rating, and the box office for our auction picks.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it looks like right now. It looks great for me. I'm just telling you right now, it looks amazing for me. I'm very sorry. I did get a chance finally to see Monkey Man this mm-hmm. past weekend, which was so cool.
Yeah.
It was so awesome.
It was.
And I loved it. But I'm very happy that it didn't make a lot of money because I want to win the auction. Let's see. You can cut me out while I'm hesitating and looking through my stuff.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Abigail did okay.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't hurt you. But between Monkey Man making $7 million less than projections, which were already not particularly high,
mm-hmm.
And like Civil War did very well, we'll see how Challengers does. That might make me lose the box office round. We also got to figure out what we're going to do about the streaming movies.
I think those just need to be zeros.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll leave them there.
Yeah. Not a net negative, not a net positive.
Okay. Zero. Thank you.
There you go.
For freeing me from having to figure that out.
There you go.
Yeah. Numbers for Sasquatch Sunset still haven't come out on the numbers, so we'll see about that.
Mm-hmm.
I might need to find elsewhere.
Sasquatch Sunset might also have to be a zero.
No. No, it was released in theaters.
It was, but it's an indie film, which don't really get projections.
If I can't find them, okay. Which I couldn't before, then yeah. Maybe I will let you take a zero.
Yeah. I think a zero.
You're still down quite a bit.
Okay.
Boy Kills World is gonna have to make like $1 billion opening weekend.
That's not gonna happen. They haven't advertised it at all.
They really haven't.
I
saw a poster when I went to the Regal mm-hmm. on Saturday, and I was like, "Ooh, that movie better not make money. Can't have Logan winning."
It's not.
It's not.
They aren't advertising it, and it's making me so mad.
Yeah.
Because, like, I feel like people would see it if they knew it was coming out.
Yep,
but
and
nobody knows it's coming out.
See, you sound like you're losing your mind a little bit, which is just, like, I guess what happens when you're down in the auction. I wouldn't know. I'm winning.
Yeah. Well, by the way, we did this auction before we knew the formula.
That's true. So I think next time we do this, we'll have a much better idea, and I will then go on, like, an all-time losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, I'm chilling.
There you go.
The way that we did this for Letterboxd and IMDb, I believe, is that Letterboxd is weighted twice as heavily as IMDb, just because, like, we like it more.
Yeah.
But that being said, you are currently ahead, but only because Challengers does not currently have an IMDb score. And if I remember correctly, yes.
Letterboxd is like a
3.9. If Challengers has a 7.4 on IMDb or higher and nothing else changes, I win the round. And jeez. I think we're probably headed there.
Yeah, unless Rebel Moon can just get farther down there.
Rebel Moon on IMDb at the very least, or actually maybe, because when I updated this like half a week ago, Rebel Moon Part 2 had a 2.2 on Letterboxd and a 5.1 on IMDb. Letterboxd score has gone down by 0.2, IMDb has gone up by 0.1, but because of how it is weighted, that it took a hit.
Yeah, I will be watching Rebel Moon. Probably tonight.
Don't. Spare yourself.
And then I will give it a low rating to help it go down on Letterboxd.
No, you wouldn't do that.
It'll be great.
When we go see Challengers, are you going to give it half a star?
No.
just to bring me down a little?
It's going
to
be too good.
Yeah.
Maybe I won't rate it.
Okay. You'll abstain until we're done with the month.
Until May.
You'll wait until May to update a score.
Yes. And then it'll be like 5 stars.
But right now, as we are looking, unless Challengers does so abysmal that Boy Kills World probably not making that much money doesn't even affect you at all, I think I'm going to win Box Office, and I think I'm going to win the Letterboxd and IMDb average rating, which means that the Instagram poll doesn't even matter. We'll still do it, though.
Yeah, but you'll probably win the Instagram poll, too.
And I will win the Instagram poll because I have Challengers, and no one in their right mind is going to vote against Challengers.
Unless people are like, ooh, Monkey Man.
No one liked Monkey Man that much. I'm very sorry.
Yeah, but you do have Rebel Moon.
I do have Rebel Moon, but I think people are going to be looking at like the top two or three movies and making their call off of that. That is
true.
At least how I would vote.
True. I mean, when I'm going to make like the little like we're going to have like a little graphic for it. I'm going to make it, and I'm going to make sure every poster is like on there.
Really?
Yes. That way, it's like a thing, and like all 5 posters are on each side.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to illustrate a graphic that more prominently displays Rebel Moon Part 2.
But it also equally displays every movie. That's a better way to say it.
We shouldn't do that because we are weighting the movies differently. So, like, the Challengers poster should be twice the size of the Rebel Moon poster, and then the First Omen poster should be right in between.
That would make the graphic look really silly.
No, it wouldn't. Nuh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
No.
I think we should move on.
Okay.
Box office. Civil War, still at the top, despite Abigail and A Gentlemanly Warfare coming out this weekend. $11.1 million domestically this weekend. Now sitting at almost $50 million worldwide at $49.5 million. Huge success for
A24. Great success. Even though I didn't care for it that much, which is insane, by the way, because I did give it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's me not caring for a movie is a 3.5 on Letterboxd.
I cared for it.
I cared for parts of it. But yeah, this is a big win, and I think, like, because there was that article a while ago that was like, A24 is going to pivot to blockbusters, and everyone's like, no! What's happening? If it's this, I'm down for it.
Yeah, same.
And they've, like, I think in order for that to work, you needed something like this, of it being a box office hit that is number one 2 consecutive weekends, and this is good.
Yeah.
Good for movies.
Yeah, I think A24 pivoting to blockbusters isn't necessarily a red flag. I think it's more like, oh, we're shifting from 70s filmmaking to 80s filmmaking.
Yes.
Where you have all these amazing auteur directors who are just making blockbusters.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah. And I think that it's going to be great too, because like A24 is not going to be like using IP that we've already seen films of. They're going to be putting out blockbusters of original things and doing what at least I and I'm sure a lot of people want, where we want these big budget films of something that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going to give us.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think when everybody saw that, me included, we were like, oh, no, blockbusters, what? A24 logo before the next Marvel movie, huh? Question mark.
Was I the only person then that wasn't like freaking out?
Probably.
At that?
Yeah, because I think it is A24's version of a blockbuster, which is still very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like you said, if we're sort of pivoting away from franchises and more towards just cool people who know how to make movies, getting good actors and having good ideas and getting good budgets, mm-hmm. I'm down. I'm so down.
I'm so down too. And now, though, here's the question.
Yes.
Could Civil War compete with Challengers to be number one for
absolutely
third straight
not.
Week?
Absolutely not.
Challengers right now is only projected to make 7 to 12 million.
You're crazy. We'll get there. Civil War did great this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It did still fall 56%. I don't think it'll fall that much.
I think it'll fall less, because typically we're seeing these third weekend drops for big movies like Civil War being smaller.
Right. Also, like, besides Challengers, like, I don't think there's as much threatening to wedge it out of the number one spot like there was this past weekend. But still, like, it's in the low 11 million range.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it holds well, it might be close. I don't think it's going to stay number one.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see.
It could be a close second.
It could be. I think
Better not.
Abigail could also possibly top it.
You think it's going to hold well?
Let's jump to Abigail.
Okay.
Abigail made $10.2 million domestically this weekend, $15.2 worldwide total. Not the best start for Radio Silence, especially since it's starring Melissa Barrera.
Although, to that end, the last two were part of a franchise, and this was not.
Yes, that is. But it's only slightly higher than Ready or Not was in terms of opening weekend. But now here's the caveat and why I think it could hold incredibly well for a horror movie. It has a really good horror movie cinema score. Horror movies typically get, like, somewhere in a C range.
Yeah.
A B minus is a good cinema score for a horror movie.
Yeah.
This got a B.
Good stuff.
Which is awesome for a horror movie.
Yeah.
Also 87% for a Rotten Tomatoes audience, which
that's
is
very high.
Solid.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it could hold really well.
I think so, too. I also think, like, between this and Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, they were very close, and it might be the kind of thing where, like, people went to see one this past weekend and will go see the other next weekend. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think the audiences are two very different audiences.
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? We'll see.
We will see. And also, like, this film just seems like just nice trademark Radio Silence horror.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really excited. I'm going to try to see it tomorrow.
Swaggity-daggity.
So, big swaggity-daggity. Moving on. Godzilla X Kong made $9.5 million domestically this weekend, now at $485.2 million worldwide.
Big monster, go roar, make money.
Yes. Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, $9 million domestically this weekend with no reported international gross yet. I do expect it to be a lot bigger in the UK
probably
than it is here, though, just because Guy Ritchie, Henry Cavill, that's what happens. You know, for a U.S. Guy Ritchie opening, though, it's solid. It's bigger than The Covenant. It's bigger than what was the Jason Statham one last year?
Operation Fortune?
Yes, Operation Fortune. Bigger than those two. So there we go. Ethan had to stare at the Jason Statham head for a second.
Because we mentioned him. We summoned him.
We did. Anyways, what do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah.
I think these are both solid openings. They were never going to be like, we stopped talking about Abigail. What am I doing? What am I doing here?
Were you about to talk?
I was about to talk about both of them.
You can talk about both.
No,
of them.
I'm not going to talk about both of them.
Okay.
Screw that. We're okay. Done. Okay. We're so done.
Bye, Abigail. I guess. Jeez, that was aggressive.
You want me to talk about Abigail?
You can talk about both. I don't care.
These are both really.
Oh, also, wait, jumping back to Abigail for a second. Ethan won Jason Statham.
I did win Jason Statham again.
Because he bet 17 while I bet 18.
And it,
we were both very far off.
Very far off, but I went lower because Price is Right rules. Yeah. And I won.
There you go.
Yeah. Between Abigail and the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, these are both two solid openings for movies that were never going to do amazing. But I think, like, they hit their target audience. Yeah. They made some cash.
Yeah. One interesting stat to jump back to Abigail again. No horror movie this year has opened above $12 million.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
So really odd stat. Just kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Because horror in the previous years has done really well. So to see horror not performing that well is a bit of a bummer. We'll probably see it do better once we get the franchise horror.
Yeah.
But to see, like, original horror movies not doing, like, the best hurts.
It sucks, but again, like, we haven't really had a major franchise horror movie all year. Mm-hmm. And the ones that we have gotten, I haven't seen them, so I can't really speak on them that much. But from what I do know, a lot of them have been good. None of them have been amazing.
I thought Late Night with the Devil was close. I thought it was just
I've heard
so
it's
unique.
Really good, but like from the conversations I have seen online, there are enough problems with it, and like Letterboxd score is now I think at a 3.5. I'm looking at something like 2022, which had like Nope, Barbarian, a lot of that kind of stuff. We're obviously not in for that kind of year with horror, but like
I mean, we'll see. Things could turn around. Also,
yeah, I don't think there's been a genuine consensus for a horror movie this year of like, this is amazing, everybody go see this.
True. Yes. I mean, I think First Omen should have been that, but that's my take. Some horror movies coming out that could end up doing really well. I saw The TV Glow, The Strangers Chapter 1, The Watchers, directed by M. Night Shyamalan's daughter. We got Quiet Place movie.
That's going to do well, I think. Maxine, I'm very hyped for.
Long Legs.
Yes.
And finally, Trap. Oh, actually, not finally.
No?
Trap, that's the M. Night Shyamalan
movie. I saw the trailer for a couple days ago, and I just have to say, it looks so funny in such a good way.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited.
Excited.
Yeah. And then
please give me evil Josh Hartnett.
I'd love it.
Yeah.
Finally, Alien Romulus.
Yeah.
So I think of all of those, I think Alien, Maxine, and Quiet Place will all open above 20.
Would I go that high for Maxine? Maybe.
Okay, maybe Maxine will get close. Maybe it won't get above 20. But
Quiet Place is going to get a lot, though.
Yeah, Quiet Place and Alien.
Yeah.
They'll both get a lot. And then The Watchers could come close. The Strangers could come close. I saw The TV Glow.
I'm really excited.
It's going to start with like a limited release, and if word of mouth can spread about that movie,
hopefully.
Which I think it will, it could then like end up doing really good when it gets wide. Yeah. So, yeah, I think horror could really turn around.
I think so too.
And I think TV Glow specifically will end up being the movie that everybody kind of centers around as the best horror movie of the year. That's my guess.
So. It looks so good.
It does. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on, I guess.
Yeah.
Even though we only were really talking about Abigail and horror and not Ungentlemanly Warfare, who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah. Anyways, Spy X Family Code White, 4.9 domestically, 51.4 worldwide. Kung Fu Panda 4, 4.6 domestically.
We were right.
480.3 worldwide.
I know we said this last week. We were right.
Yeah. Plateaued.
Yep.
Ghostbusters, 4.4 domestically. 176.1 worldwide.
Die.
Crossed $100 million domestically this weekend.
So unfortunate.
So we're probably going to get a sequel.
Can't you go bust something else? Why has it got to keep being ghosts? Stop busting my ghosts.
I don't
know. Stop freezing my empire.
ask Sony. I don't know what to tell you.
Sony, why?
Dune Part 2.
Dune!
2.9 domestically, 695.8 worldwide. Even though it released digitally, people are still like, we want to see this in a theater.
Yeah.
So good for them and good for Dune.
Good stuff.
Monkey Man. Now
I contributed.
Dune. I'm glad that you contributed. 2.2 domestically, 28.3 worldwide. I wish it did a lot better than this, but
yeah, having now seen it with some of those action sequences, this not getting that much theater love sucks.
Yeah. I hope it can really pick up once it hits digital.
Yeah.
Same with The First Omen, 1.7 domestically, 45 worldwide. It's been a really big hit internationally, so that's a good sign. We're probably not going to get a sequel to this movie, but it does kind of set up for one, so if we did, I'd be very happy.
Cool.
Maybe if this film does really well digitally, we could see something, but probably not. So, oh well. Now, Fallen Heroes out of the top 10. We got a very boring slate of just two movies that were barely in the top 10. The Lawn Game, one weekend in the top 10, made $2.3 million domestically with no reported international gross. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Shrek 2.
Shrek 2.
Re-release.
Hey!
One weekend in the top 10, made $3 million domestically and no reported international gross. Imagine if Shrek 2 only made this amount of money when it actually came out.
That'd be crazy. Imagine if it still had like the popularity and reputation it has, but only made this much money in theaters.
Jeez.
Shrek.
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 Shrek and Donkey. Sorry, cut that.
And now, moving on to next weekend. We've already talked a little bit about next weekend, but...
For Jason.
Challengers. Projected to make $7 to $12 million. Where do you have it?
Where do I have it? Where do you have it?
I asked you first.
That's fair. I think you went first last time. I'll go. Yeah. This is a tough one for me to gauge. Because, I'm here at Ithaca College, where everyone is beyond hyped for this. But this is a liberal arts college. This is not the whole United States.
Sadly.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think I'm going to say 16. I'm feeling confident.
Wow.
I'm feeling confident. I think that the moment in the trailer of all of them kissing, that got some attention online. Mm-hmm. You have Zendaya in the lead. People love Zendaya. People are still going out to see Dune. I feel like there's weirdly a lot of crossover for some reason between the audiences of these two movies. Yeah, the trailer is amazing. I think everyone who has seen the trailer and it's been making the rounds for a while because it got delayed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the delay is going to hurt it. I think it's going to do well. I don't think it's going to do amazing. I think it should do better than it is going to do, but I think it'll do good. You're not as confident.
This is going to be, I think this might be the first time where for Jason, I'm betting lower.
That's crazy.
Wow.
What are you betting?
11.
11?
Yeah.
Dang. I really hoped you're wrong.
I almost said 8.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is going to make a million more opening weekend initially before you changed your prediction to 11?
I mean, possibly.
That's nuts.
Because,
am I just so isolated being here?
Maybe.
At IC that I think this is going to, do the rounds when it isn't?
Maybe. It's just, projections are really low for this.
You know what? Screw the projections.
This month has been really sad.
Yeah.
Where the only movie we've really seen succeed is Civil War. So.
Yes, but hot tennis love triangle, Logan.
Yeah, but do people want to see hot tennis
love
triangle?
Yes, they do.
Do enough people?
I hope.
Do $16 million dollars worth of people want to see hot tennis love triangle? Plus, by the way, you need to get a lot more people in the theaters. For Hot Tennis Love Triangle than you would for a movie like Abigail or something, because I don't think this is playing on any premium screens.
It's playing in IMAX.
No, it is. You're joking.
There's a poster for it that is not exclusively in IMAX, but like there's an IMAX poster for it.
I'm Googling this right now.
I'm right. You're wrong.
Oh my God. It is scheduled to release in IMAX.
Yep.
The advertising should have leaned way more into that.
I don't think they knew it was going to be in IMAX until like the last like month or two. So like, I don't think they displayed it in like at least the initial trailer because I don't know if they knew.
That's fair. Okay. Well,
does that change things for you?
We'll go 12.
Okay.
IMAX adds a million extra dollars. There we go.
All right.
Settling in on 12.
Can we write this down so we don't have to go back into the episode?
Yes, yes. Let me just.
I will do it.
I already wrote it at the bottom.
What? Where?
Very bottom. What? Ethan 16, Logan 12.
Where?
Oh, wait. I wrote it on the wrong document.
So I will then go ahead.
Yeah, you go and. Yeah, there you go. Anyways.
Anyways.
While Ethan writes this, let's talk about Boy Kills World.
Yeah. We're the only people on the planet who are talking about it.
Yeah. Because they aren't advertising this movie like they should be. Nope. So that way I can actually like beat Ethan.
Yeah. It's a win. This is a win for me.
Yeah.
No disrespect to the filmmakers. Looks really cool.
I'm going to try and see it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you and no one else.
Yep.
Yep.
Pretty much.
I'll go with you if you want me to like help boost it a little.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I thought you said that you didn't want to go to Regal.
I don't, and I won't. I was kidding. But like, I was being nice.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate
you can go see this alone in a theater that no one else will be in.
I'll probably see it like with Ungentlemanly Warfare or something.
That's a fascinating double feature.
Henry Cavill and Bill Skarsgård.
They should be in a movie together.
They're going to rock my world.
They're going to rock your world?
Yes. And dang. Alan Ritchson.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're not going to kill your world because Boy Kills World?
Well, two of them are not in Boy Kills
World. Okay, but one of them is, and that's one of the movies. We're done here. We are done.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this week of Popcorn Premieres. Thank you, Ethan, for co-hosting, as always.
Of course.
We will see you all next week, even though we can't see you.
We can't see any of you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.